Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. On this All Saints Sunday, would you read together with me the sermon title, Your Name is on the List. Our text is 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 19, which reads, You are our hope, our joy, and the crown we will take pride in when our Lord Jesus comes. I invite you this day to open up your service folder, find there the sermon outline as we consider this wonderful theme, Your Name is on the List. One of the most powerful movies I have ever seen in my life. A movie that to this day, when I watch it, brings tears to my face. Is a World War II movie entitled Schindler's List. The main character, Oskar Schindler, is a heavy drinker, a womanizer. He bribed government officials, and he was a card-carrying member of the Nazi Party in Germany. But buried deep in Schindler's heart was an amazing compassion for the condemned Jews of Krakow, Poland. The Jewish people that Hitler sought to kill, Schindler sought to save. He could not save them all, but he saved all that he could. What began as his own personal factory for profit became a haven, a salvation for 1,100 people, women and men, boys and girls, who found their names on to Schindler's List. This was his list of Jewish men and women, boys and girls. He compelled the Nazis not to kill in their death camps, but to convince them they were indispensable for the war effort in his factory. He said they were indispensable workers he couldn't live without. Not always true, but it saved their lives. If you saw the movie, and I'm wondering, how many of you have ever seen the movie Schindler's List? There's a few. If you've seen the movie, you will remember the ending. And if you haven't seen the movie, it is time well spent. In the ending, with the end of the war and the defeat of the Nazis on the horizon, now Schindler would be hunted. But his Jewish workers would be set free. They know what he did for them, even though the world around only knows Schindler as a rich Nazi. As he leaves the factory under cover of darkness, his workers line both sides of the street to bow and to thank him. He is given a letter from all of them with every one of their names in it to declare to the world what he has done for them. And then he is given a gold ring made from the gold teeth of some of the factory workers. And on this gold ring is a saying from the Jewish Talmud that says, He who saves a single life saves the entire world. Then the people, the husbands and wives, the parents, the children surround Schindler with a group hug. They know what he did for them. They will never forget him, but I ask you, what thoughts? And here's time now to tune into the message. What thoughts ran through Schindler's mind? What emotions come when a person finds himself face to face with those lives he has changed forever? Dear Christian, one day, you will find out. Schindler saw the faces of those he delivered. Someday you will too. Schindler heard the voices of the redeemed. You will one day hear those voices. Schindler stood in the company of the rescued souls, and someday that will be true for you and me as well. When will that be? When our Lord Jesus comes at the end of the world to take all of his saints to heaven. This is one of the things we think of on All Saints Sunday. My godfather, the sainted Carl Kappen, used to tell me this. He said, "Stephen, what do you think will be the best part of heaven?" And I said, "Well, I'm not sure." And Carl Kappen said this: "The best part of heaven will be when some people there personally come to thank you for your role in helping them to become a child of God and your role in helping them to dwell with God forever in heaven." The promise of 1 Thessalonians 2:19 is not just limited to the Apostle Paul. I'll explain, but first, hear this text again. Paul writes, "You are our hope, our joy, and the crown we will take pride in when our Lord Jesus comes." When Paul wrote those words, it had been 6 months since he left Thessalonica, and he left them to begin a new missionary journey. But Paul's heart was still in Thessalonica. I can attest for any pastor, you're serving a lovely group of people now, but your heart often finds itself, does it not, Beverly, with the saints of God you have served elsewhere. Paul left Thessalonica. He still loved the people there. And he looked forward to see them again, he says, especially on the day Jesus comes to bring them all to reunite in heaven. Again, our sermon text, Paul says, "You are our hope, our joy, the crown we'll take pride in when our Lord Jesus comes." This verse reveals an image, like the image of Oscar Schindler and his beloved workers, an encounter of the redeemed with their Redeemer, an encounter of those freed with He who freed them, a moment in which those saved can meet and rejoice with the One who saved them. In this case, Paul will search the faces of heaven to find his beloved people of Thessalonica. They will find each other, he says, and will enjoy an eternal reunion in the presence of Jesus Christ, their Savior. This is one of the joys we celebrate every All Saints Sunday in our church. My friends, just think about that day when Jesus returns to bring you home. When Jesus says to Herb Esha, "My faithful servant Herb, it's time to set aside your carpentry tools. I'm bringing you home to myself." When Jesus says to Patricia, and he probably habla en español to Patricia, he says, "Venga, tu mi casa, come to my home. It's time for you to come home." Imagine that day. When Jesus returns to bring you home, there you are. Do you see yourself in the heavenly places, in the great company of the redeemed? Your resurrection body is brand new. Just think about it. No more pains or sickness. Your mind has been brand new. What once you could never understand on this earth, now you will understand fully. Your heart will be made brand new. No more fear. No more guilt, no more shame or sorrow. Then imagine Jesus asking you a question. Alice, imagine Jesus asking you a question. Ben, imagine Jesus asking you a question. Karen, imagine Jesus asking you a question. He says, "Because of you, others are here today with me forever. Would you like to meet them?" Chances are you'd be surprised at such a statement. It's one thing for a great apostle like Apostle Paul or for Billy Graham, the evangelist, to be asked a question, but us? Most of us would reply to those words what we find in Matthew 25, 37, "Master, what are you talking about?" Then imagine Jesus inviting people one by one to step forward. People in whose lives you have made an eternal difference, even though you might not know it. Well, for goodness sakes, there's your former neighbor, that crusty old guy who always kept to himself. But he comes up to you, Jill, and he hugs you and says, "You know what? You never knew I was watching, but I was watching. You never knew I took to heart what you told me about God's love, but I was listening, and because of you, I'm here today. Then you see the second and the third and the fourth person come with various stories, how you, Alvaro Saji, by word and deed, led them to the foot of the cross. There's that person that was in that hospital bed, Carol, next to your mother. That person you prayed with because nobody else was there to pray with them. They had no visitors. And that person you left with the devotional, the Portals of Prayer devotional that you were going to give to Mama. And they say, dear soul, because of you, I am here with Jesus forever. Like that friend, Alan Schellenberg, that friend that you invited to church on Easter and Christmas, whose broken heart you never knew was healed by the power of God's word, and they say, thank you, because of you, I am here. But you and I are most amazed by people from other countries thanking us, people whose language is not even our own. How could you possibly have influenced them? Well, by your prayers and by your financial support for missionaries who brought the gospel of Jesus Christ to their homeland. And how about your friendship? Your friendship with new immigrants who have come to your town or even visited your church, whom you welcomed and you sat with on Sunday for worship. You brought to ESL class and you invited them to your home for dinner and loved them in the name of Christ. Soon, like Oscar Schindler, you are surrounded by a loving group of people who thank you, Ian Oliver. Thank you for the part that you played in their salvation. And now you and I feel like what St. Paul felt like when he said the words of our sermon text, you are our hope, our joy, and the crown we will take pride in when our Lord Jesus comes. But my friends, Jesus isn't finished yet. Jesus saves the best for last for you. There's one more group of people. And Gabriel, Jesus comes to you. And Bev Samper, Jesus comes to you. Ben Mann, Jesus comes to you. And he says, I've got one last surprise for you. The first person to come to you is your spouse. Your spouse who comes to embrace you. You hear their words whispered in your ear, thank you for not giving up on me. Then come your children and your grandchildren for whom you cared and you prayed. Gabriel, your children, soon coming. Your children and grandchildren for whom you prayed. They thank you over and over again. Nai-nai, yeah, grandpa, mama, papa, bumpa, mima, thank you. They now realize all you did for them and how you never quit loving them even when in their older years they made some bad choices. Then come your parents. Your parents, Ilsa. No longer frail or sick as when you last saw them, but robust and strong, Grace Wischke. Robust and strong. Speaking those words which mean so much, we're proud of you. Thank you for your part in us being here. But then, wonder of wonders, come faces you don't even recognize. You have to be told. These are your great-grandchildren and your great-great-grandchildren that you never saw until today in glory. They are in heaven because of the legacy of faith that you passed down to them. They all thank you because God used you so that these people would know to love and trust Jesus, their Savior, who died on the cross to pay for their sins and rose to give them victory over sin and death and devil. Now, this imagined scene reminds us of these very precious words from St. Paul. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Listen carefully. Paul writes, no one has ever imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. This heavenly reunion that we celebrate every All Saints Sunday shows us, and please listen to me now, shows you that you will never regret any sacrifice you made for God's kingdom. The hours of service to Jesus and His church, you won't regret them. The financial offerings you gave in the offering plate, you would now give them a thousandfold. The times you helped those in need, loved the lost, shared your faith, told a child about Jesus, you would seek out those opportunities and you would do it all over again tenfold. My friends, Oscar Schindler would have done the same thing. Earlier, we wondered about Schindler's final thoughts. We wondered how he felt surrounded by the people God used him to save. His last appearance in this movie gives us a good idea. He tucks their testimonial letter in his suit pocket, the letter assuring the world what he had done for them. He puts on the ring made by the gold teeth of some of his workers that said, "He who saves a single life saves the whole world." And then he looks in a panoramic view of all the faces of his beloved people. And then he leans next to Isaac, the factory foreman. And he says, "I could have done more. I could have done so much more." He pointed to a Rolls Royce car and said, "If I would have sold that car, it could have released 10 more prisoners." He points to a gold pin on his lapel and says, "If I would have sold that, I could have bribed a guard to release 2 more." In that moment, Oscar Schindler's life is reduced to one value. Profit is forgotten. The factory doesn't matter. His status means nothing. Only one thing counts: the saving of his beloved people. My friends, All Saints Sunday reminds us what is really important. Our continued witness and passing on of the Christian faith, the faith rooted in Jesus, our Savior, who loved us and gave His life for us. Why? So that the courts of heaven will be filled with the redeemed, with those whose names are inscribed on God's list, those saved for all eternity. Thank God, my friends, that your name is written on God's list. May our loving Lord use you and me and this congregation to add more and more names to God's list. In the name of Jesus, blessed All Saints Day to you, saints of God. And all God's people said, Amen.